Welcome to Low SWR, another podcast for the radio amateur.
OSWR is a podcast about amateur radio. My dad, Rich, KD0BJT, and I, Brady, KD0BJS, will cover a variety of ham radio-related topics and talk about our adventures in radio. Today is February the 20—is Monday, February the 28th, 2011, and this is episode number 21.
And this episode is going to be a year in review. We're going to look back at the year 2010. Even though we're a couple months late, we did record this, what?
I don't know. It must have been in January sometime.
Yeah, it was sometime. Early January.
But we recorded it with a little digital recorder in the car, and the audio wasn't very good.
There was so much noise in the background. I tried to get it out of there, but when I did, then I got, it sounded very digital-ish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I guess I kind of do.
Kind of, like a cell phone. Well, yeah. Anyway,
it wasn't good, so here we are, I guess.
It was bad.
We've got a lot of new stuff here. I guess we had sound effects last episode.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we did. But set up a new low SWR table. We're using this new mixer that we got on eBay. I don't think we had that last time.
We did not. This is the first time we're using the mixer that I... It was a little beat up, and there's some knobs missing.
Oh, yes, but it's very professional. It's real big and heavy. It's a real professional mixer. It's got 8 inputs, you know, the Pyramid PR8800. Yeah, it's an audio sound.
You forgot the best part.
Oh, the Pyramid PR8800 Echo, you see.
That's right.
Here, let's show them the Echo.
The Pyramid Audio Sound Mixer PR-8800 Echo.
Yeah, it's real professional. It's real nice. It's got a bunch of controls and knobs and everything. It's missing a few, but there's only 3 inputs that we use: me, you, and the sound. So it works great. And we've got a new table with new microphones and headsets and everything. It is real professional.
Professional for our neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's right. See, but it's as professional as we've gotten so far.
That's right. We're trying to improve with every show, and I guess that's all we can do.
It must be pretty good. We should really have a picture of this.
Yeah, we should. We'll post it up on the site there.
All right.
With our, you've got the Archer. I found those at a ham fest, I believe.
What are they?
Archer dynamic microphone.
Oh yeah, we found them. Yeah, we found them at the
last. Mine are no name plastic with vinyl ear pads. They're very nice.
Yeah, we found them at the last Hamfest, and we got these microphones at Hamfest a long time ago.
Yeah,
and we haven't used them, have we?
No, we've
no.
The cables came from a different Hamfest.
Yeah, see, this is yeah, and then we've got our old laptops, our really old laptops. I mean, they're
we're
pretty slow.
Away.
Yeah, we're cruising right along.
Well, we should jump into the show.
Okay,
so we. We're going to do the top 10 things that we did in 2010 that were ham radio related, and hopefully something might inspire you to do something as well that's ham radio related.
All right. So the first thing we're going to cover was our projects, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to account for 10 and 9, although I think some of them, I don't know if they were as better. They're just kind of everywhere.
Just say number 10. You ready?
Okay. Number 10 are projects.
Okay,
yeah.
You want to do... yeah, I'll do mine.
Yeah, you can... Well, I don't know how many. We'll go you, me, or...
Number 10 is really Rich's project, because my big project last year was this repeater, this UHF repeater that I've got not working right now, and I need to get it done
It
soon.
Was working, kind of.
Yes, it was working one time, and then I started messing with it again, but it's an old UHF Motorola Micor, an old piece of commercial gear that... You can tune down into the ham bands there, and I got bits and pieces from here and there, and got a duplexer from a friend of mine, and I bought this antenna, and this was a great story.
This was at a ham fest, too.
Well, oh, okay.
The big, you know, the big 440.
Yeah,
array.
There's a. I got a four bay antenna there from a Hamfest for $10. But then I also got a 16 bay off of I think QTH is where it was advertised. But he was down in Texas. But I might have told this story before. But I know a ham that that is a driver who lives down there, and he picked it up for me and brought it up for me. So that was great.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got those things. That repeater was pretty good.
Yeah, and I had to build a controller for it. I got one from one of the places that they'll sell you the controller as a kit. You need a controller on a repeater so that it can identify every 10 minutes and passes the receive audio into the transmit side and, you know, just controls it.
That's right, yes.
So anyway, it was a big learning experience. A lot of work goes into the repeaters that are out there. So I think we should move on to...
Let's see, what should I do first?
Number 9.
I guess my 20-meter vertical. We talked about it. We used it at a special event station, and it works real well. See, it came from a 4-band trap vertical that I never could get working. I don't know if I had the traps in right or wrong, and I don't know. It just didn't work. There was the SWR wasn't right on bands and stuff. So we took it apart, and we used the parts and another piece of pipe to build a 20-meter vertical. And it's got real good bandwidth. It covers the whole 20-meter band under 2:1. Around the edges or something, it goes above 1.5. But it's got really good SWR. And we used it at a special event station, and it worked great. So that was our number 9 project, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. That 20-meter vertical worked great. It tuned right up. And
with only 4 radios lying on the ground.
Yeah, and I think that's the one you contacted the ARRL president on.
Yeah, that's right. We used that. And we also talked to Mexico with that.
Oh, yeah, that same day, right?
Yeah, the same day.
Ah, very good. All right, let's move it on to number 8.
And let's see, number 8 was, the special event station. So, number 8, the special event station was...
That's what you call a segue.
And so that was the K0A call sign we used at the Bark Junior Summer Picnic. We talked about that also. But that's where we used the vertical. And we talked to the ARRL president. And I actually didn't know it was the ARRL president at the time. But then when we got the card, it said President ARRL. So then we knew. And that was pretty cool. And so we also talked to Mexico on that. I forget the call sign. It was a 4 call sign. And so I actually thought it was a Florida. The first letter was Florida, but it was 4. So I'm not familiar with 4 as the prefix for Mexican call signs. I usually think of it as X. But yeah, we talked to Mexico on that and the ARRL president. So that was a bunch of fun.
And a bunch of other people, I think 40-some people in a couple of hours, so that was a lot of fun. Well, excuse me, I have been under the weather lately. All right.
Number 7.
Number 7 was the IARU contest, the International Amateur Radio...
Union.
contest, a big DX contest. And, yeah, all of these things we've talked about before, but that was the one where,
We had the 2-element 3-bander Yagi.
Yeah, Brady's homebrew antenna there, and that's where I worked, like, 20 countries in a couple of hours, and I know that you had...
I had maybe 15.
As much success or close to it, yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. We just had 100 watts, and I don't know when that was. Was it July, maybe?
It was in the summer sometime, definitely. And I know a lot of people...
Maybe it was September. I don't know. July or September. I don't know why I think September, but I do.
We're very unprepared again.
Yeah,
that's
usual. Right.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I know we mention contests quite a bit because we enjoy them. And, not that we don't enjoy rag chewing also.
And nets.
And nets, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
You should maybe tell them about that. That might make the 2011 list.
Yeah, or we'll have to, in the next podcast, we've got hamfests and nets,
I guess. Oh, hamfests, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, now this is, we haven't done one in so long that we have enough for two podcasts at least here.
Right. But well, number seven was the IARU contest, and it's a great opportunity to work some DX. So let's move it on to number six.
And number six was Hamfest, although not the Hamfest we were going to talk about. So anyway, we had four local Hamfests. Let me think what they were. We had Barkfest, Larkfest. That's Boulder, Longmont, Fort Collins, wasn't it?
Yeah, we went up to Fort Collins.
And then there was one more.
The Aurora.
And that one's right by us at the Adams County Fairgrounds, so that one's always fun.
Yeah, that one's really close. And, you know, one thing I realized...
You know, that was more than a year ago, that Hamfest.
Yes, it was. So we went to four in 2010, and we found bunches and bunches of deals and all kinds of stuff to play with.
Oh, and I remember at the Aurora one... remember we had a boatload of stuff, really literally, because there was this big remote control boat with all the electronic stuff taken out of it, and I got it for $5.
I saw that boat just the other day out in the backyard.
Yep, it's out in the playhouse. We use it in the sandbox. You see, we dig a big hole in the sandbox, and then we flood it with water, and then we put the boat in there just to try it out, you know. So I don't know what I'll use it for. Maybe what I'll do is I'll put a beacon on it, and then I'll let it float around on the pond for a while.
There you go. You put a big string on it or something.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That.
So anyway, Hamfests were really fun. And at that Hamfest, I bought the Two Tin Tunas QRP kit, QRP 40-meter transmitter. Oh, and that was the show that we had Larry on, our co-host there.
Oh, yeah, you have a much better... memory than me.
Well, yeah, because he knew how to build those, apparently. He already had a bunch more experience than I did, so.
Yeah, and I want to be on the show again sometimes. Larry, thank
you, Larry. How about the saltwater rafting you were looking up in that show?
I know all about saltwater rafting now, and if you would like, I can show you. The Polynesians invented saltwater rafting. I believe it was the Polynesians, or maybe they just perfected it. I'm not quite sure. But anyway...
Larry, you can go now.
Okay, bye-bye. I'm going to go back to the computer and look at some more stuff on there, okay?
Okay.
Well, very good then. So, let's see then. Number five.
I had one more thing about Hamfest. You should go because a lot of times they have license testing there and you can learn new things.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a bunch of also snacks, too. So anyway, number five. Well, there is. There's, you know, hot dogs and donuts and, you know, anyway.
All right. Number five was another special event station, the Whiskey Seven Ponies. That was the...
The 150th. It wasn't the 150th re-ride. It was the 150th anniversary of the Pony Express.
And they had a re-ride, so they called it the 150th anniversary re-ride.
Yes.
And it was a little confusing, but that was the one. And even though we didn't have much success with it...
It was real fun.
It was great fun because just setting up and being there, it was at the...
Fort Laramie.
Yeah, Fort Laramie, which is near...
And we ended up getting a private tour. I call it a private tour.
It was. It was southeastern Wyoming or eastern Wyoming. Anyway, it was great fun. And, I remember the lunch we had.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. Well, maybe for those who don't remember or something, we should go over it a little bit. We came and they were about half done setting up their big full-sized 80-meter loop with these fiberglass poles. It looked great.
Yeah, these are some people from a local club there who had actually set up the special event station.
Well, yeah,
we were just going to help out.
And you know them because you always talk to them when you drive up there.
Right. When I used to drive up that way, I used to talk to these guys all the time. Great bunch of guys up there.
And so, anyway, they got their 80-meter loop up there, and it looked just great. And it really was. It was anyway, so they started operating, and one of them checked into a net on 20 meters. They had a tuner. And then, you were the one who heard it.
I'm sitting there, and we're sitting by the pump house, and I hear the pump turn off and on.
Or try to start.
Try to start, yeah, whenever we transmit. And I thought, well, that's weird.
Well, it's not really weird as much as bad.
It was bad. So I don't know what to call her, the director.
It was but what pump were we trying to start? Anyway, it had no gas in it, but it was trying to start. It was the emergency pump for the fire.
Yeah, it was
fire,
the emergency pump.
Whatever.
Yeah, for if there's a fire, then they can start that one up, and I think it gives pressure to the hydrants or something.
Anyway,
something along those
lines.
We ended
up trying to turn it on, so...
not on purpose.
No, not on purpose. So anyway,
By the time we got moved, everyone was pretty much.
Well, we had to take our big 80-meter loop down. I don't know how high up they had it, but that was.
Oh, I think it was 32 or 36 feet.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And you know, with 4-foot poles, so there were nine of these poles, and then you know, guy wires, so. You know, four corners. It was a...
And the radio and everything.
Oh, it was a lot of work. And everyone was pretty much demoralized after that.
So, anyway, we were going to go down and set up by the bakery. But then the power had to come through some hole in one of the... In one of the buildings by the bakery. But nobody knew where the power cords were. So that's how we got the private tour was. We were taken all across the grounds looking for power cords.
Yeah. And so...
So we never actually got on the air at the site.
At the end of all this, we decided to go to lunch, and that was great.
It was good. It was the
Fort Laramie American Grill.
Yeah, the Fort Laramie American Grill. And you have to order by the number.
You'd better order by the number.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I forget which one we had.
I don't know.
See, there's B, L, and D for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I think I had L15, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had. But after that, we did make some special event call sign contacts.
While we were still in Wyoming, we put a 15-meter Hustler antenna anyway, and we made some W7P contacts on 15 meters.
Yeah, and I remember I talked to a guy in Minnesota, and we...
He wanted the card for 5-band worked all states, right?
Right, and he needed Wyoming on 15 meters. And then it was really funny because I ended up working him again from the house on a different day and a different state, for that matter. So that was kind of right, that was pretty wild.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right.
Are you done with that then?
Yes.
Okay, so then number 4.
Field day.
Yeah,
everybody loves field day. Usually.
Yeah, usually.
It made number 4 on our list.
Well,
we must have liked it.
We must have liked it. Yeah, we did like it, I guess. We had a lot of fun on field day. The only bad part was that it rained for like 2 or 3 hours. No, not hours. How long did it rain for?
Oh, I think it was maybe an hour and a half. It was a good time anyway.
Right smack in Saturday afternoon, which is really a bad time for it to rain. I mean, if it rained Sunday from 11 to 12, that wouldn't be so bad. But this was Saturday afternoon. I had just started running a pile up on 20, and then we had to go into the building.
Yeah, I just started running a pile up on 20.
No, it was. It was right in the mid-afternoon, probably around 4 o'clock, and it really...
It was kind of sleet, wasn't it? No, it wasn't.
It was almost hail, yeah.
It was just pretty good-sized raindrops.
Big, fat raindrops, and they just kept on coming.
Yeah. So, anyway...
If you've never been to Field Day before, and this is mostly for the people in the States, but find someone, you know, in your area that's running Field Day and just go check it out. Just visit for an hour and have a lot of fun. I know some of the bigger clubs will actually have like a VE session there so you can upgrade your license.
We do actually, and we're not a very big club.
That's true.
So,
and then I know that Australia has a field day. They just wrapped up with it not too long ago, and it might have been their first one, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't know if other countries have a field day or not.
Well, I know there's... What region are we? We're region 2. There's an IARU region 1 field day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So that's probably region 1 is Europe, correct?
Is that right? It's Europe, yeah.
So they probably all do it at the same time because geographically they're all so close together.
It's a week or two after ours.
Oh, really? Okay, very good.
Yeah, so anyway. So yeah, field day's a lot of fun. If you can go, then do it. We only made half as many contacts, though, as the year before last year. So we made 12,003 that year.
1,203.
1,200, yeah, I'm sorry. And we only made 600 and something this year. So that was probably partly because of the rain.
Well, better luck next time.
That's right. That's actually why I wanted that audio clip. No, I'm sorry. I wanted it for W7P, but that works fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it on the other one. All right.
All right. So then, okay. We have number three.
Number three was sweepstakes.
So sweepstakes was actually funner than field day, according to our little chart here. But I think they were about the same. I don't know. Sweepstakes might have been a bit more fun.
I liked sweepstakes better because I operated a lot of it in my pajamas.
Oh yeah, that is nice. If you you actually get to operate field day in your pajamas, that's real fun. We only operated like 13 hours out of the 24.
Yeah, and it was nice because it was on and off. I could go grab a cup of coffee and then come back up and, you know.
We did it in the playroom here, right by the window, so we could get the coax in.
Yep, yep. And, yeah, it was just, I thought it was great fun.
Yeah, it was. We had our old computer, and we had this Linux software. Anyway, it was really fun. We did the multi-operator category, and we would have gotten the certificate for Multi-Op Colorado if one other person
only made
was
like twice as many contacts.
Right, because there was somebody else with twice as many points as us in Colorado Multi-Op, so. But, you know, they might have had more operators than us. They might have done the whole 24 hours, and
they might have
been running 1,500 watts, or not. I don't know.
I don't know, but it was certainly a lot of fun. And
Yeah, we had fun. That's the thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and there's always next year.
That's right. We can always do it next year.
And, you know, that reminds me of something I'll talk about it next time. There was a lot of Maryland, D.C. there, but anyway.
Okay.
Number two.
Okay. Yeah, so number two was, we got to find it on our little list. Oh, yeah. 4 days in May. The 4 days in May at Dayton there on Thursday, we didn't have as much fun at four days in May as we might have. We didn't go to vendor night, and we could have had a lot more fun. But we were there for the forums, and those were a lot of fun, all the forums. But if we ever go again, I hope we can go to vendor night.
Me too. I definitely do want to do 4 days in May again sometime, and it was it looked like, you know, there was a lot to do. We should try to describe 4 days in May for everyone. It happens at the same time as the Dayton Hamvention.
Well, the Thursday. Dayton is Friday, Saturday.
I'm getting to that.
Okay. Well,
it happens concurrently with the Dayton Hamvention. How it works is you come on a Thursday, and that's when the talks, the 4 days in May talks, are at a hotel. I don't know if they always have it there, but it was across town from where the Hamvention was. So you have a day of talks there, and it covered, you know, all kinds of topics, building your own receiver.
Well, yeah, but it was QRP.
Yes, all QRP. The 4 days in May is
QRP ARCI Club, Amateur Radio Club International.
Right, and they hosted the event. I think they do host the event all the time. At any rate, so you go to a day of QRP talks on Thursday, and then on Friday, and is most of the guys stay at that hotel across town. On Friday, they have buses that take you over to the Dayton Hamvention. The Hamvention shuts down about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You get back on your bus, you go back to the hotel, and then they have things on Friday night, Saturday night, and maybe Sunday afternoon at the hotel. They have a banquet at the hotel, and then they also have vendor night, like Brady said, and there's some other little things that they do as well.
So, yeah, it would be really fun if we went to all the stuff, but we had fun as it was.
Oh, we did. We did. So it's kind of like you get two things in one if you go to 4 Days in May and the Dayton Hamvention. It just gives you something to do in the evening and on that first Thursday if you can make it. And, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, it's mostly the QRP guys, but if you enjoy building and there's a 160-meter talk that was...
low-band DXing.
Right.
It was QRP, too, but, you know, it basically applied to 100-watt things as well. Some of those talks did.
There's just a wealth of knowledge at those things.
That's right.
Well, the big one...
Number one was...
The Dayton Hamvention.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun at Dayton, I guess, because that was where I gave my talk, and that was fun, and we bought a bunch of stuff, and so Dayton was real fun. Although we actually didn't go to any forums at Dayton. I thought we should next time if we
can. Yeah, again, we had a schedule. We wanted to do too much like usual. But Brady, if anybody's just listening for the first time, gave a talk at the 2010 Dayton Youth Forum, and that's why we got to go, actually. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. So, we did that, I guess, and that was real fun.
It has everything. Forums.
Flea markets.
New vendors.
Well, yeah, the new vendors and then the flea market as well.
And then there's contests and, you know, door prizes and food.
Yeah. There's always the peanut vendor. They have nuts, you know.
Yes. And then electric scooters.
Oh, yes. They especially have the electric scooters.
If you don't feel like walking, you can rent one.
That's right.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. That was 2010.
Well, see, but that's
you
only...
have more.
No, well, see, that's only around 27 minutes. So since we have 3 minutes, and sometimes we go over half an hour, we could go over that Hamfest we were talking about.
Oh, the latest Hamfest?
Yeah, the latest Hamfest was actually the Aurora one again.
Again, yes. Yes. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, these are things like... I always get off track here. So what did we do? We participated in contests. We went to some operating events, special event station, ham fests. And this is just a few of the things that you guys can do to participate in amateur radio. And if you can't do anything, well, you can always get on the radio and chat. And, you know, I think I've just realized...
And then if you don't have a radio... See, I wanted to talk about this too, but
yeah,
I'll talk about Echo Link later.
You should go ahead. No, I was just going to mention it. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we used to do a lot of Echo Link. You can do it on your radio. It's basically connecting repeaters with the internet, within the internet. So... we just found this place called SCARS. It stands for the SCARS. It's South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Anyway, and they have a reflector, and they're an organization, and we actually are members now because
there's a helicopter going by.
Yeah, that's right. Because Pete VE2XPL, the Waveguides podcast, was going to interview us. So anyway, we got into SCARS on Echolink, but what?
I was... Never mind.
Okay. So, I was going to say that, you know, if you don't have a radio, you can still get on ham radio with your computer. You download an Echo Link. It's mostly for Windows, but we found a Linux version that works also. So, you can get on ham radio without a radio, actually. You just need a computer, but you still have to have your ham license to operate it. Oh, and if you want to look about SCARS, look at SCARS, we'll put the... I don't know what the link to their website is. We'll put it in the show notes, I suppose. There's a HF net and the Echo Link net.
Yeah, that helicopter distracted me. Did you mention that there is usually always someone connected?
Oh, yeah, there's usually always someone connected. So if you have questions, you can get on there. And they have, what are they called, the hospitality people?
Yeah, they actually have some people who are designated at certain times. I don't know if they're full or not, but you can, you know, there should be somebody on there. That's what I'm getting at. I know that my experimentation with Echolink, I would link repeaters, and a lot of times I wouldn't get anyone. You know, they're just quiet. Nobody's listening. Nobody's monitoring, or nobody wants to talk, which, you know, that's just the way it goes. But the scars, oh, gosh. Is it, no, it's not a server. What is it?
It's a...
The conference,
yeah,
the SCARS conference,
yeah,
is what they call it.
A conference server.
The conference server, yes, is usually always has someone on it. That's what I wanted to say.
And it's node number Echolink. It's 96140, and then IRLP. It's 9614. But anyway.
Yeah, and did you mention that we got our Echolink working on the Linux there?
Yeah, we did. It's called Qtel.
Yeah, the program is called Qtel.
Actually like it better than the Windows Echolink.
This is for everyone using Linux and doesn't want to use the Echolink under Wine. The Qtel works pretty good. There are packages for Fedora or Red Hat, which is what we put on this machine of ours over here, Fedora 14 on this old laptop, and it works great. But you can also, of course, build it for a Debian system or Ubuntu or Linux Mint. There, all based on Debian. There.
Yeah. So you can get on Echolink even if you're running Linux. We mostly run Linux. I guess we have one computer with Windows. So So you can get on ham radio without a computer.
All right, and that is the Echolink thing there.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something else.
Was it about the Hamfests?
No, it was about our Feldhell contest.
Oh, we're going to do that next time. We're going to draw.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, though, know that contest is probably 3 months old now.
Yeah, it probably is, but we've gotten a few more people. Do we have, like...
I'm not quite sure. There's six or eight. Thank you for everybody who...
Yeah, we were going to start drawing when we got five, but now we'll have to...
But that's okay. I think I have something for everyone. So we'll send something to everybody. But thanks for everyone who entered.
Should we draw for the prizes? Because we had that DC voltage meter.
Right. We're going to hopefully make a wheel of prizes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
A prize wheel.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
We'll get it all painted up nice and put numbers on it, and then we'll just we'll go from there.
Okay. Or wouldn't you have the wheel with all the different prizes, and then you would spin for number one?
That's a great idea. Yes.
For person one and person two.
Right. And then the first entry gets the first spin.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That'll work. That's what we're gonna do on the next show.
All right.
Which hopefully won't be 2 months from now. Hopefully it'll just be a week or two from now.
A week or two, or it'll probably be three.
Oh, and I wanted to say welcome back to Jerry Taylor, the Practical Amateur Radio Podcast. He's got a couple of episodes out there, and so you can put that back in your podcast catcher. I know I took him out, and I just happened to swing by his site the other day, and I said, oh, wow, he got a couple episodes out there, so he's back in the saddle.
All right, very good. And we are two after 3 months. No, it's
two months.
Two months. 2 months and 2 days.
2 days.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get another one out in a week or two. So 73 is everybody from Brady, KD0BJS.
And Rich, KD0BJT. And it seems like everybody contacts us with the Contact Us form on LowSWR. So just do that.
Warning, low battery.